In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom, and I am glad to be with you today, proclaiming the Word of God. I'm looking at John 9, John, the 9th chapter, and as Jesus passed by. Those few words, I know, seem very common, but when Jesus passed by any place, there were always people who are looking for things. Remember, sick people were always following Jesus as Jesus passed by. And can I also say to you today, in faith, Jesus is passing by you today. He is passing, but don't let him go. Don't let him go. Make sure that he gives you what you need. Tell him what you need. Pour out your heart to him. Don't worry about anything. He is passing by. In faith, I tell you that. And as he passes by, you say, Lord, I need a job. Oh, Lord, I've been without a job for how many weeks? I need to supply for my family. Jesus is passing by. And when Jesus passes by, you don't let him go by you. You make sure he stops. And that's by faith, by your faith. Jesus passed by, and he saw a man who was blind from his birth. A man born blind from his birth. I'm going to read the next part because it's very interesting. And his disciples asked him, Master, who sinned, this man or his parents that was born blind? In the ancient world, they thought that if someone had this affliction, they must have done something wrong. But you know what? I remember when I was 13 and I started to take seizures, and the first thing I said is, what did I do wrong? Or why me? Why me? Why me? It's very, you know, it's very, very common that we think, you know, maybe I've done something wrong. Listen, you know, it doesn't mean that you've done anything wrong if you're sick. Doesn't mean that you've done anything wrong unless you know you've done something wrong. Jesus Christ wants to heal you. That's why he bore our wounds and carried our infirmities. Jesus wants to heal you. And he doesn't want you questioning, you know, why me? That doesn't lead anywhere. Who sinned? My mother, my father? Listen, cover yourself with the precious blood of Jesus. Cover yourself with the precious blood of Jesus. Jesus answered, neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God, the glory of God, may be made manifest in him. Oh, yes, that the works of God may be made manifest. And Jesus knows what he's going to do with this man born blind. I'm telling you that the man that came to the espousal who needed a walker or a cane, I'm telling you, when he came, he said to me, I came with a miracle in my pocket, really knowing that God was going to heal me. And I remember that God healed him miraculously. And I remember him, you know, glorifying God. And he went to a dance and everybody said, where's your cane? He says, I don't need a cane anymore because Jesus Christ healed me last Wednesday at the espousal retreat house. You remember I was on a cane or a walker, and you know that that's who I was. But no more. I'm not on a cane. I'm not on a walker because I was healed by Jesus Christ. This man was healed to show the glory of God, just like the man I just talked about. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night comes when no man can work. In John's gospel, night means evil. When Judas leaves the table on the 13th chapter, it says it was night, darkness. In other words, I must do the works of God in the day, in the light where people see. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Well, we heard that before in the 8th chapter of St. John. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Then Jesus said, I'm going back to the 8th chapter, 12th verse. Then Jesus spoke again and said unto them, I am the light of the world. The person who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Have the light of life. I'm telling you, he said this in the temple precincts. And there were four big torches, you know. And he's saying, you know, as compared to these torches, I am daylight. I am daylight. Jesus is the light of the world. Jesus answered and said unto them, the Pharisees therefore said unto Jesus, you bear witness of yourself, and you record what is not true. Jesus answered and said unto them, though I bear record of myself, yet my record is true, for I know where I came from, and I know where I'm going. But you cannot tell where I came from or whither I go. You judge after the flesh, I judge no man. And yet if I judge, my judgment is true, for I am not alone, but I and the Father hath sent me. Well, I'm going to tell you this, my God. Now he's saying that God is his Father, he's the light of the world, and that he does all the works in the light, not in the darkness, in the night. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. As a matter of fact, Jesus said to us, the church, you are the light of the world. The church has a document called Lumen Gentium, light of the Gentiles, light of all peoples. I'm telling you, we who love Jesus, we are the light of the world. We are connected to the light, and we share the light that Jesus has placed in our heart, the light of the world. Jesus said, you are the light of the world. Not only is he the light of the world, but the church itself is the light of the world. That's why the church must always, always preach the head. Let's always, always preach Jesus, who is the light of the world, who is light from light, God from God, true God from true God. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had said this, he spat on the ground, made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with clay. Now, this sounds kind of different. He spits on the ground, makes clay with the dirt, and smudges it on the man's eyes. This is kind of, you know, it's kind of different. They've never done this before. And then he said to the man, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is interpreted as sent. Mm. Remember that Jesus is the one that the Father sent. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that he sent his only Son, that whosoever believes in him might have life. God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. Go wash in the pool of Siloam, which means sent. This is right in Judea, right near the temple. He went his way, therefore, and washed and came back seeing. The man's faith was just going to Siloam. Someone had to direct him to there. He was still blind. But after he washed in the pool of Siloam, he came back seeing. The neighbors, therefore, and they which were before had seen him, that he was blind, said, is this not the man that sat and begged? Isn't this the man that we put money in his little cup? Isn't this the man that was born blind? Isn't this the man that we said who sinned? Isn't this the man that we said did his parents sin or did his ancestors sin? Now he's seeing. He doesn't have his cup anymore. He's not begging for money. Oh, is this the man? Some said this was he. Others said he looks like him. But the man said, I am the man. I am he. The next thing is, you know, how did this guy get his sight back? You know, I would say that people should be rejoicing because they don't have to put money in the cup. He's off the dole. He's off the dole. I would say that, you know, people would be saying, isn't it wonderful? How did you get your sight back? They're saying, how did he get his sight back? But they're not going to say it's wonderful. Therefore said they unto him, How were your eyes opened? And the man answered and said, The man that is called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and said to me, Go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and washed, and now I have received my sight. Okay, you would say, isn't that great? Isn't that great? That's a wonderful thing. That's not what the Pharisees are going to say. Then said they unto him, Where is he? The man said, I don't know where he is. And they brought to the Pharisees him that was blind. And it was on the Sabbath day when Jesus made clay and opened his eyes. It was on the Sabbath day, my Lord. My Lord, this man was born blind. No one has ever seen a man born blind see. This man now sees. And now they're going to get Jesus on the law that he opened the eyes of this man on the Sabbath day. Ooh, isn't that terrible? Rather than saying, Hallelujah, this is the work of God, for only God can open the eyes of the blind. Hallelujah. This, I'm going to tell you, religious people, this is the way they are. This is the way they are. This is the way they are, you know. I remember speaking when I was first ordained that prostitutes and tax collectors are entering the kingdom of God ahead of the Jewish people, ahead of the righteous people, ahead of us, prostitutes and tax collectors. I remember getting a letter from a lady that was so angry. I said, Hi, she can be as angry as she wants to be. This is what Jesus says. Jesus says this, prostitutes and tax collectors are entering the kingdom of heaven ahead of the Pharisees. And, you know, I couldn't apologize to her because it's true, you know. I don't know where she stood with God. It was none of my business. But it was my business to preach what the Word of God said, that prostitutes and tax collectors enter the kingdom of God ahead of the Pharisees and ahead of some people in the church. You know, people don't like to hear that. Jesus healed the man on the Sabbath. Therefore, some of the Pharisees said, This man is not of God because he doesn't keep the Sabbath day. This man is not of God. This is so stupid. Who can open the eyes of the blind? This is not magic. This is the one that said, I'm the light of the world. How can they say this man is not of God because he opened the eyes of the blind on the Sabbath day? Legalism. I'm telling you, when grace goes out the window, you've got to put something in its place and it'll always be legalism. It'll always be legalism. And that's for the church too. When we stop allowing grace to work in our lives, we've got to put something else in place of grace. And legalism is something that always follows grace. Heaven abhors and earth abhors a vacuum. And when grace is not our life, saved by grace through faith, when grace is not our life, we need to say, well, I did this. And I didn't eat meat on Friday. We go into legalism. We go into legalism. You don't have to eat meat on Friday. Let me tell you that. That's a good thing that you fast from it. But it has nothing to do with your salvation. It has nothing to do with your salvation. Let me tell you that. When we throw grace out the window, legalism steps in. And legalism is what the Pharisees are into. They are saying this man cannot be of God because he opened the eyes of the blind on the Sabbath. And they asked, let me see if I can find that again. And they said unto the man again, What do you say? There was a division among them. Therefore said some of the Pharisees, This man is not of God because he didn't keep the Sabbath. Others said, "How can a man that is a sinner do such a sign, such a miracle?" There was division among them. And they said unto the blind man again, "What do you say about him, the one that opened your eyes? What do you say?" Now, these Pharisees that are into the law are not going to like the answer of the man. The man says, "He is a prophet." Just like the woman at the well, the first thing she said, "He is a prophet. He is a prophet." But the Jews did not believe concerning Jesus that he, concerning the man, that he had been born blind and received his sight, until they called the parents of the man that was born blind and received his sight. And they said to the parents, "Is this your son? And was he born blind? How then does he now see?" Now the parents are going to be, rather than joyous, they're going to be into the law. They're going to say, "This is our son. We know he was born blind. How he now sees, we have no idea. Ask him. He's old enough. He's had his bar mitzvah. He is a man. Ask him." And the parents were much more concerned with being thrown out of the temple, out of the synagogue, than proclaiming that this is our son. He was born blind, and it was Jesus who opened his eyes. You see, you can't be a closet Christian. You can't be a closet Christian. I am a priest and a Christian wherever I go. If I go to a place I shouldn't be at, I am a priest and a Christian that goes to the place that he shouldn't be at. Do you understand what I'm saying? We do not take off our Christianity like a coat. It is indelibly in our soul, indelibly in our spirits, indelibly in our hearts. We cannot just say, you know, "I'm a Christian when I go to church." No, very sorry. I am a Christian and I am a priest no matter where I go. I told you yesterday or 2 days ago when I went to the Market Basket, I prayed over a lady who said, "You're Father Tom," and she needed prayer, and I prayed with her. But the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been born blind and received his sight, until they called his parents, the parents of him that had received his sight. And they asked the parents, saying, "Is this your son? And do you say he was born blind? How then does he now see?" His parents answered them and said, "We know that this is our son. We know that he was born blind. But how he now sees, we do not know. Or who opened his eyes, we do not know. He's already had his bar mitzvah. He's of age. Ask him. He shall speak for himself." I'm telling you, look, parents like this, you don't need it. They were much more into the law. Rather than jump up and down, you know, I've been to children's hospital, okay? I've been to children's hospital, and you know, the things that are at children's hospital, it's just terrible. These beautiful children that might be blind, or these children that are sick from the beginning. And I'm telling you, the parents want anything to see their kid healed. They come from all around the world to go to the children's hospital in Boston. These parents should be rejoicing that their son now sees, but they're not rejoicing at all. What they're doing is saying, you know he's born blind, we know it's our son, but we don't know who opened his eyes. And they said this because they wanted the glory of the synagogue and of the temple more than the glory of God, more than the glory of God. "Ask him, let him speak for himself." These words spoke his parents because they feared the Jews, for the Jews had already agreed that if anyone did confess that Jesus was the Messiah, he should be put out of the synagogue. So they care about the synagogue more than they care about their son. Therefore said his parents, he is of age, ask him. Then again they called the man that was blind and said unto him, Give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner. They're saying that Jesus is a sinner. So give God the praise. He answered and said, Whether he be a sinner or not, I don't know. One thing I know, I was blind, and now I see. You know, I'm not going to judge this man. I'm not going to judge this man. I just know one thing. I was blind, and now I see. Same with the drug addict, that God gives the ability to stop taking drugs. I was the druggie, but now I'm clean. And Jesus opened my heart. I was blind, but now I see. You know, we can all say that who love Jesus. I was blind, but now I see. I'm telling you, Jesus opens the eyes physically, and Jesus opens the eyes spiritually. I told you that we witnessed at Holy Rosary a woman who was blind. She wasn't born blind. But after a period of prayer and prayer and prayer, she began to see and read a book that she couldn't see any of the words. We saw that. Jesus opens the eyes of the blind physically, and he opens the eyes of the blind spiritually. I know that when this reading is given to us during Lent, I know that a lot of people talk about seeing spiritually. I'm telling you, Jesus continues to open the eyes of the blind spiritually as well as physically. Teresa of Avila prayed with a cousin of hers who was blind, and he received his sight. Jesus continues to heal the body as well as the soul. Jesus is the Lord. And give God the glory. Well, I'm telling you, this is the man, Jesus, who opened my eyes. He cannot be a sinner, because no sinner can open the eyes of a man born blind. No sinner can open the eyes of a man born blind. He answered and said, Whether he is a sinner or not, I do not know. One thing I know, I was blind, and now I can see. Hallelujah. Isn't that wonderful? I only know one thing. I was blind as a bat, but now I can see. That's all I know, and I'm rejoicing. And isn't it sad that nobody's rejoicing with me? My mother and father aren't rejoicing with me. The Pharisees aren't rejoicing with me. I'm rejoicing, and no one's rejoicing with me. Then they said to him again, What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes? And he answered them, I have told you already. Did you not hear me? Why do you want to hear it again? Do you want to become his disciples too? And when they reviled him and said, You are his disciple, but we are disciples of Moses. We know that God spoke unto Moses. As for this fellow, we know not from whence he is. These are the religious people. And the man who was born blind and now sees answered and said unto them, Why herein is a marvelous thing that you don't know where he comes from, the one that opened my eyes? Now we know that now the man is being the teacher. Now we know that God doesn't hear sinners, but if any man be a worshiper of God and does his will, he hears that person. Since the world began, it was not heard of that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind. If this man were not of God, he could not have opened my eyes. They answered and said unto him, You were altogether born in sin, that's why you are blind, and you are trying to teach us. And they cast him out of the town. Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and he found him. I tell you, Jesus is always for the underdog. You know, here he is, thrown out of the town. And you know, maybe he's thinking, at least if when I was blind, I had parents, I had people putting money in my little pot, I had all these things. Now, I've got nothing. I've got nothing but my eyes. Jesus heard that they did cast him out, and when he found him, he said unto him, Do you believe in the Son of God? He answered and said, Who is he, Lord, that I might believe? And Jesus said to him, You have seen him, and he is talking with you. And he said, Lord, I believe, and he worshiped Jesus. Lord, I believe, and he worshiped Jesus. And Jesus said, For judgment I came into the world, that they which see might not see, Pharisees, that they which see might be made blind, Pharisees. And some of the Pharisees which were with him heard these words and said unto him, Are we blind also? And Jesus said unto the Pharisees, If you were blind, you would have no sin. But now you say, We see, therefore your sin remains. The religious people were blind to Jesus. They were blind to Jesus. They should be rejoicing that this man can see now. The mother and father were blind to Jesus. They respected the synagogue and the temple more than the reality that their son was healed. Let me tell you this. Jesus Christ is the healer. He heals us in body, in soul, and in spirit. Jesus has come that we might have life and have it more abundantly. Jesus is the Lord, and there's nothing too big for Jesus. Let me just tell you this. He keeps on telling us, you people do not ask big enough, because I am a big God. I know how to do big things. You keep on asking for little things, and that's wonderful, but make your vision a lot bigger. I continue to open the eyes of the blind. I continue to open the ears of the deaf where I find a degree of faith. But where there is no faith, I can do nothing. And I don't want you to be like the mother and father. I want you to proclaim that it's Jesus who opened my eyes, that it's Jesus who opened my heart, that it's Jesus that fixed my being, that it's Jesus alone. Today I want you to pray for a little baby named Mario. Heal Mario, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, who is the light of the world. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.